move on to our last case for today, United States v. Mark Bozovic. Mr. Bosch?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. This is Michael Bosch on behalf of Mark Bozovic. In a criminal case, particularly one that's going to go to trial, one of the critical decisions that gets to be made by the defendant, without regard to what his lawyer thinks, is whether or not to testify at trial. When the defendant testifies at trial, a lot of bad things could happen. The defendant here chose to testify at trial. It was my opinion that it would probably hurt him a lot more than it would help him. So my strategy was to confine his testimony as much as I possibly could.
But let me just say, cross-examination can explore anything reasonably related to the subject matter of the direct examination. We've used that phrase a lot. And I looked at this cross-examination, and I had trouble finding it quite the devastating thing that you were talking about. He's pretty insistent that he's buying all this heroin because he was addicted to it, because he was a user. But the government, and I guess here's where you can tell me why this was wrong, seems to be trying to elicit, well, exactly how much are you buying? Because at some point he's buying so much that it's reasonable for a jury to think that this is in fact not all personal use purchasing, and that seems pretty close to me to the scope of the direct, you know, looking at that reasonably related standard.
I think it went far further than that. The government at length went over the direct testimony of DEA agent Robbins and tried to get him, which he did say, to claim Robbins was a liar.
He says that a couple of times. He says, oh, they were lying. But he really is talking a lot about trying to get drugs for his personal use. Who wants to wait while they're sick, etc.?
Well, Your Honor, if the government was just trying to get to his personal use, they wouldn't have charged him with a conspiracy.
But they wanted to show, of course, that he was buying so much more than would be personal use, that he, in fact, was a dealer. Right? And that seemed to me where they were going with this.
And of course that gets to the second throng of the appeal. The government never recovered any heroin here. There was never any controlled buys. There were no pictures. There were no wires. It was just a bunch of junkies buying heroin.
But they have his statement, and you know, as you well know, a bunch of junkies can testify. You don't have to have the drugs recovered.
Obviously. Don't disagree with that at all.
How did his direct testimony help him?
Once again,
recognizing that you advised him against it.
Yeah. I don't think his direct testimony helped him at all. I think if I would have gone further, it would have damaged him even more. That's why I tried to confine it as much as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I'll just, on this scope of cross question, you know, we've got an abuse of discretion standard and this reasonably related standard, which together make this pretty plastic. He's describing in his direct how he kept taking heroin during all this time. And he actually got busted while he was on pretrial release,
yes.
Right? But the questions, in essence, how much, where did you get it, and how did you pay for it, all seem reasonably related to that to me.
I thought it far exceeded. Mm-hmm. I think these are the federal rules of evidence, not the federal suggestions of evidence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
And lastly, the sentencing, we had a great deal of controversy over what weight could be attributed to Bozovic. The only person who was sober the entire time who testified about weight was the dealer himself, Cortez Humphrey, who got a about 5 years less than my client got. Obviously, he got a 5K 1.1. Obviously, he was to be rewarded for that. But how does the guy who supplies all of the dope get less of a sentence than my guy did who was using the dope?
I'm sure it's very frustrating, but didn't Humphrey, I mean, the district judge looks at Humphrey's testimony, and he comes up with about a kilo and a quarter, right, from that testimony.
And we disagreed with that, and we addressed that. I think I've got that Humphrey is more like 500 grams, because he also stated on the stand that he had known Bozovich for about 3 years. By the time we went to trial, the case had been pending for a year. Mm-hmm. So who's even telling something remotely close to the truth?
I think you missed the only ground of appeal you have, which is that his sentence is too great because of the amount of personal as opposed to sale consumption. You blew that completely.
No, I raised that at sentencing.
It's not in your brief.
That's because I was given a case by probation that showed, in fact, personal usage could be considered part of the conspiracy.
No, that's what you missed. All that says is that personal use is part of the guidelines. The judge is supposed to use the 3553A factors to determine the sentence. He does not bound by the guidelines. I mean, suppose you have a case where someone buys 1,000 kilograms, consumes 999 grams, and sells the last. Sentence him to 20 years in jail? Make any sense?
No. The 20 years here didn't make any sense to me either.
Yeah, but you didn't argue to the judge that what's important here is that it appears, although it's very confused, it appears that his personal use greatly exceeded his sale use. He seems to have been a very small dealer and a big consumer, right?
Right.
Now that should influence the sentence, but you didn't raise it.
We did talk at sentencing about the difference. All of his co-defendants had already been sentenced at the time he was sentenced. And in fact, two people went to trial. Jason Rossiter and my client both went to trial.
But all you argued is that the 2 kilograms was too much, that he hadn't bought that much. And you didn't exploit the fact, you had these really confusing pre-sentence addenda to the pre-sentence report. So I'm totally at a loss to know how much was personal use and how much was did he resold. But if most of it was personal use, that certainly ought to influence the sentence.
There was no way of telling how much was personal and how much was a part of the conspiracy because all of the alleged co-conspirators came up with wildly divergent numbers as to what was being bought in the first round of the pre-sentence
report. Well, you think that would benefit the defendant. If nobody knows how much was personal use and how much was sale, you'd think, well, you'd give him a break. You wouldn't give him 20 years, which would make sense if it was all a sale. Anyway, you didn't do anything.
Well, in fact, Your Honor, we said in the end that we should be responsible for about 600 grams, 600 to 700 grams.
I know, but that's too little. You kept trying to knock down the 2 kilograms. That's the problem, is not the difference between him and the other defendants is not the 2 kilogram conspiracy. It's that he may not have been anything but a petty little dealer on the edge of this conspiracy.
Well, in fact, for guideline purposes, I needed to get below a kilogram.
No, that's the guidelines. Don't you understand? The judge is not permitted just to give a guideline sentence. He has to justify it. And if you have a defendant who is primarily an addict and not a seller, that is relevant to whether the guideline sentence is appropriate for him. That's what you missed.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You can save a minute for rebuttal if you like. Mr. Holler.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I don't believe that the District Court abused its discretion permitting a full cross-examination.
Well, was there any determination made of how much of this was personal use and how much he resold?
There was not, because it was not clarified as an issue in the District Court by the defendant, Your Honor.
Well, did the judge do his job? I mean, did the judge ever say, all right, guideline sentence 240 months, but 3553A, I have to see, is this sentence appropriate, you know, relative to the other defendants and other people in his position? I didn't see any of that.
Well, I understand the court's concerns on that, Your Honor, but I think if you look at what the District Court did, the District Court had a range of estimates. I think originally probation estimated this in the 4 to 5 kilo range and then dropped it down into the 2 to 3 kilo range. There were wide, wide estimates. And what the District Court said, if you look at what the District Court said on page 4 of the appendix, is the District Court essentially is estimating his sales, his individual sales, not how much he's buying, but how much he's selling. And he's estimating that he's selling at least 20 grams a week for a year, at least that amount. So forget about anything that he buys that goes into his body. Just look at what he sells, what comes out of that. 20 grams a week for a year, which the court says is a very conservative estimate. On this record, I believe, is a very conservative estimate. That gets to the 1 kilo. There's another 120-gram deal that's undisputed.
So you think the district judge found that he sold a kilogram?
I believe that that's exactly what the court does.
I missed that. Where is that?
Red brief at A4.
On page A4 of the brief, Your Honor, this is at line 11. Even using a conservative estimate.
Wait. Where are you now?
I'm on page A4.
Okay, even you. All right, I see this.
So all it's right. In this. You might have to read the whole thing. I'm not sure if it comes out here. But the court is saying Batchelor, one of the witnesses, said he's selling 40 grams a week. That's what Batchelor testified to, that he was selling that amount.
But there's nothing in this paragraph about selling.
Well, if you look earlier, though, he's talking about Batchelor. Batchelor testified, so now I'm on page A3, line 9. Batchelor estimated Bozovich was selling approximately 40 grams of heroin per week. Then go to page 4, line 11. Even using a conservative estimate of 20 grams per week, rather than the 40 grams that Batchelor estimated. So he's referring back to, we're talking about sales. And I think then the district court goes on to sort of say, well, checking that against how much he's buying, he clearly was buying at least that amount or more. Because in fact, it looks like he bought at least a kilogram from Humphrey alone. He was also buying from Powell. He was also buying from an unnamed source that he was buying 3 grams a day from. He had at least one other supplier. So I think the court is saying this defendant bought well more than 1 kilogram, and he sold at least a kilogram.
The first pre-sentence report suggests that he sold a total of 145 grams. Then there are the addenda, which are very confusing. I don't see... So is this Batchelor, is this the only source of this quantity of sales?
No, Your Honor. Batchelor testified that he was selling about 40 grams a week. Earl testified that he bought from Powell 5 to 7 grams at a time, 25 times. Humphrey estimated that he'd been buying 4 to 5 grams a week from him for, he said, 3 years of trial, but Bozovich said in his statement he'd been buying from Humphrey for 6 years. So, I mean, the district court could have resolved all of that, you know, and come up with a slightly lower number. But I think that the estimates that were coming in were reasonable. It's obvious that he sold for many years. It's obvious that he sold large quantities. And this, of course, ties into the Rule 611 issue as well.
Why did the probation service not realize this?
I'm not sure exactly which part you're referring to, Your Honor. I think the trial testimony, and initially there is one part where they're focusing on how much was sold with Batchelor, that there were very specific sales that he brokered between Humphrey and Batchelor that totals 145 grams. I haven't gone back, because this wasn't an issue raised in the on appeal, and iterated every one of the pre-sentence reports. I think there were at least 2 or 3 that were filed. But the probation department and its final addendum and its final pre-sentence report, it came in at 2.3 or 2.4 kilograms of how much it thought that he was responsible for. The defendant came back and said...
No, not how much he sold.
I'm sorry?
It didn't say that he sold that quantity. These addenda, they don't say that.
That's how much they felt the conspiracy was responsible for.
That's the conspiracy, yes. I'm interested in what he sold.
And the district court estimated that. Batchelor testified about what he sold. The district court looked at that and said, here's what I think. I think that based on the fact that you have other witnesses, like Earl, like Humphrey, who support that, I'm going to knock that down a certain amount, but I'm going to find that he sold that amount. And regardless, in light of Snook, even if he didn't sell that amount, even if he that was part of personal use, it would still count. It would just
be
a 3553A factor.
I don't understand Snook. I don't understand the logic of that.
Well, the logic of Snook, I believe, Your Honor, and again, that issue was waived, but I believe the logic of Snook was that if you buy more, once you've bought it as part of the conspiracy, it doesn't matter for guideline purposes what you do with it. If you
choose
to resell
it or not. I know
it
doesn't matter for guideline purposes. I'm asking what sense it makes.
Well, I don't know that if... I mean, I think that it does make sense to say you're still contributing to the market economy. They're still giving money. Bozovich is giving money to Humphrey as a drug dealer. If he chooses to snort that money up his nose, if he chooses to resell it to somebody
but
else,
now
or if
you're
he chooses
treating,
to bury it.
Now you're treating an addict as a distributor.
Well, which again is why
I think... Well, suppose... I mean, you know, so take my case. Buy 1,000 grams, you snort 999, and you sell one. Now, you think that's appropriate for a 20-year sentence?
Unless there were other extenuating factors,
well, wait
I
a second.
Not.
What sense does it make? That person is a consumer. He's not a distributor.
Well, you said no. You don't
I agree.
Think it's
I agree
sorry,
that would be inappropriate.
I
agree that would be inappropriate, and that's not this case. So if the look, there are two points to make. First of all, the district court found sales. Okay, the district court found that. If the court reviews the record and thinks that's wrong, then the court should reverse. But the district court, on those pages, based this on sales. The second point is that even if the district court is wrong, the court followed Snook. The defendant explicitly waived the right to challenge Snook, and the defendant didn't raise a 3553A argument.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think that it's appropriate if the district court
were
faced with
that.
You're
saying it's clear that Batchelor was testifying about sales and not purchases by Vasevich.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
I didn't understand.
And I certainly, look, Your Honor, if this was a defendant who we felt was solely a user, who really had sold very small quantities, and that's what the defendant tried to portray. I mean, I don't dispute that. But that's not the government's version of what happened. The government's version is that he was a large dealer. He's going up to the south suburbs of Chicago. He's buying very large quantities. He's setting up deals on the way back. He's dropping off drugs on the way back. Did he use heroin? I will agree that he did. But did he use heroin in the quantities that he's describing? It's almost impossible for an addict, even the most addicted person, to use more than a half a gram or maybe a gram a day. The defendant was testifying that he was using a gram and a half a day, and the evidence from the other defendant, from the other witnesses, was that he was buying at least 3 to 5 grams a day. He wasn't using those quantities. And you know, there's reason to disbelieve him when he says he's the heaviest addict in the world and he's using a gram and a half a day, because those individuals usually don't have enough gumption to be able to get up every day and go buy drugs on the south suburbs of Chicago.
Okay.
So those are just the disputes that had to be resolved. The jury resolved them against him under full cross-examination. The district court said, I'm going to look at what he sold. That's what the district court looked at. And then based on the fact that he sold over a kilo, that's where the guidelines came in, and that's what the district court found, and these arguments were made, and this was the sentence that came up. I mean, it is often the case in drug cases that the one defendant who puts us to our proof gets a higher sentence. That does often happen. But those are arguments that have to be made. Those are arguments this court has rejected in the past. And under those circumstances, we don't believe the district court abused its discretion in its manner handling the trial, in its determination of the guidelines, or in its ultimate sentence. And so we would ask this court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Bosch?
Nothing further.
Well, we thank you. You are appointed, are you not?
Yes.
We thank you for accepting the appointment and assistance to the court and your client. Thanks to the government, of course, and we will take the case under advisement and we'll stand in recess.